Ready when you are.
Oh, wait. I gotta wait. I just got to make a couple notes here. Soup station, baby. Have you had
in
the soup
order.
Station yet? Yeah.
In that order.
David. Football. Football, David.
The Dave Dameshek Football Program. Available on iTunes and at davedameshek.nfl.com. Now here's your host, Dave Dameshek.
Hi and hello, football fans. It's your old pal Dave, Dave Dameshek. Welcome to the Dave Dameshek Football Program, available as always on iTunes, Stitcher, and NFL.com/Sheck.
S-H-E-K, Sheck.
Yes, it really is the footballiest time of the year, isn't it? I mean, we're here now. I feel now we've entered the space that it's not that Civil War reenactment vibe that you get off the first week or two of preseason. You get excited in early August or even late July because you feel like, oh, football's back. And then you turn on the TV and you watch the Hall of Fame game for 4 minutes and you get that sense of, it looks like football. It feels like football, but there are little things that are off. And so we're past that now. Decisions are being made of who will be under center for all the 32 teams. It's very exciting. Here to help break it all down, and specifically today, we'll be tackling the AFC East as we play our ongoing series here of glass half empty, glass half full. We evaluate the high-end potential and the low-end potential for all the teams in the divisions. Black tie behind the glass. So far, you can go back and dig up what? NFC North, NFC East we did with Elliot Harrison last week. We did AFC North with Handsome Hank. We did, that's I'm trying it. To run through them all. That's it?
That's it.
Oh, yep. So we still have a few left. So good. Yep. We got to get those all in. Time's running short. Because there's a lot of excitement going on over here at NFL Media. First of all, NFL Now. Make sure you get signed up there, NFL.com/now. The full library of NFL film stuff. Me, Elliot Harrison, Daniel Jeremiah, Heath Evans, so on and so forth. Everybody pretty much at NFL Media shooting videos that are tailored to your desire. If you're a Packers fan, for instance, you'll get all Packers stuff. If you like a certain player, if you're I don't know. There's a rookie in Cleveland named Manziel. If you're a fan of his, you'll get stuff all related to him. Sign up for NFL Now and start getting that. And maybe more exciting, I mean, I might be biased, but the big news over here at NFL Media right now is last week the dream finally became a reality. The soup station in the cafeteria, the huddle as it's called, the soup station was rebranded. It's now the Dave Dameshek Soup Station. It's a dream come true. Chase your dreams, kids. They are within your grasp. You know, reach for the stars. Who knows? Maybe you'll catch one. Thank you. A little belated on that. But anyway, thanks, Black Tie. Anywho, all right, let's take a look at who's in Studio 66. Maximum Strength! To help us with our breakdown here.
Or just new Studio 66.
I, you know, the interruptions must end by the start of regular season. Let's make that our goal. All right, Black Tie? Let's really focus on trying to get that done. In the meantime, here in Studio 66, Maximum Strength are the two guys I just mentioned who helped us break down a couple of divisions last week. Now we've paired them up. You'll be listening to them and watching them on NFL Now. And, you know, I don't know. On the we got to figure all this out. The digital stuff is beyond my grasp. He'll help us. He'll help articulate how it all works for us. He's our pal. He's the Miami Dolphins fan who grew up over in London, England. Now he's here with us in 66. It's Handsome Hank.
He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank. He's Handsome Hank.
Hello, Handsome. How are you?
I'm very well indeed. Thank you, Dave. It's great to be here and great to be here. I thought that was a waxwork of Elliot Harrison, but actually it's Elliot Harrison with more with more makeup on than any man should ever
no,
have.
No, indeed. Yeah, I know. That's it does. It's not very becoming.
We looked at Clinique. We
And hello to the aforementioned Elliot Harrison.
What's up, fellas? This is great because I feel like the red flag challenge segment.
Yes.
You say it's the footballiest time of year, but really it's the coolest segment of the year.
When
you know,
we get
up.
Into the picks, and we'll do that, I think we're scheduled to do that Thursday in season, every Thursday. We make our picks. Well, Handsome Hank and Elliot make their picks, and they debate, you know, if one of them wants to throw a red challenge flag at the other for his pick. That's what we do. They rarely do because they tend to be in lockstep, depriving the rest of us of the drama that we
usually at the top of the charts.
We're
on
usually correct
too.
As well.
Yeah, by the way, what do you think about the soup station, fellas? We're burying lead here.
Okay.
Are you excited about – have you had – any of the offerings so far from the Dave Damashek soup station?
Dave, there's something about your face hovering over my soup, which mm-hmm. makes me think that I'm not particularly interested in eating it. Mm-hmm. And so it's big news. I'm excited for you. I know it's something that you have followed your dreams, and you've been talking about this for 2 years, I would say.
Yeah.
And I'm thrilled.
That's why I would think you should dispense with the snark.
This is an exciting thing.
There's
no snark. When I think Italian wedding soup, I don't necessarily think of your face grinning.
There's a certain snot chowder aspect to it.
Don't be cynics. You know, envy isn't a good color on either one of you.
Let's be honest, though, Dave. That's not quite the most exciting thing that happened in your week.
No, indeed. On Sunday night, I was awoken from my slumber and was informed there's a baby on the way. And sure enough, as it turned out, I was cynical about whether or not that was true. But as it turns out, there was in fact a baby, right. and it was a masculine one, and he now joins the fold with Jean-Claude Van Damashek, my boy, and he joins baby Oprah, my daughter. I now have two boys, one girl, little boy now. The question is, though, it's not set in stone. Johnny Football Damashek, is that a good idea? Mm. Or is that a candle that might burn out too quickly?
I have a feeling Johnny Football Damashek, that wouldn't last as long as baby Oprah.
No.
Or Jean-Claude.
Yeah. What do you think, EH? I want to go something classic, and now that he's born while I'm employed by the NFL, I feel like I owe the league a tip of the hat.
You know, I was thinking about this. I was listening to Simon and Garfunkel.
Kamish Damashek.
No, I really liked Darnell Damashek, but I feel like it's a bad omen right now. So I'm going to really have to rethink, go back to the drawing board.
DeBrickashaw Damashek.
Yeah, that's pretty
let's
good.
Let's go Pittsburgh. Let's stay Pittsburgh. How about Big Ben Damashek?
Damashek?
Or DeMonte Damashek, that's nice. Yeah. Or Mean Joe Damashek.
Mean Joe, that could be good. My favorite when they were, you know, you have to be different. You can't just when you're growing up amidst a dynasty as I was in Pittsburgh in the late 70s. You got to be cool. You want to stand out from your little friends. You don't know, I love Bradshaw, Franco, Lambert. I liked all those guys. Mm-hmm. But then you latch onto somebody else who's a little outside the box. I love Dirt Winston.
Oh, yeah.
Dirt.
Yeah.
What about Dirt Damashek?
Dirt
is that
Damashek's good? Or if you, I mean, from the sounds of your story, you had no warning up until the moment that the baby arrived.
No, I had no
there
idea.
Was one coming. How about Immaculate Reception Damashek?
Oh.
How about Ouija Damashek?
I was just about to go Ouija. Ouija's a pretty good one. Bubby, you know,
let's not
jump over the obvious here. Mean Joe Damashek. You know what? Black Tie, I think this is a good one to...
it's a poll.
To ask the Czech Republic on. The Czech Republic's always been there for me. I think we should reach out to to our citizenry and see how they feel.
Of course.
So drop us a hashtag, hashtag DDFP with good names for this kid.
If anything you should crowdsource, it's your child's name.
That's a good idea. Ooh, you know what? If we're staying on the banks of the Three Rivers, maybe it doesn't have to be football. It could just be anything sports. And in that case, Cobra Damashek. For Dave Parker. How
Six,
about that?
Sixto Damashek?
Sixto Lescano? Yeah. His star of all the Clemente? I don't know.
Promanti?
Promanti. All right.
RJ Damashek?
Look who remembers his early or his mid-80s Pittsburgh Pirates. And Lemieux, it just doesn't work. I know Lemieux Damashek, of course, is really what it should be. All right, listen. Enough of that. But, yes, it's exciting times over at the house and – here at the NFL because of the soup station, or excuse me, the Dave Damashek soup station. We need a jingle for that, Black Tie. That's something else we're going to have to work on, is some sort of a jingle. I am going to be – this is an announcement just real quick for – please bear with me, listeners who aren't NFL employees. But every Wednesday in season is officially going to be free soup Wednesday at the Dave Damashek soup station. The first person who comes up to me each Wednesday and says, "What's the soup, fella?" is going to win themselves a free bowl. courtesy of the Dave Damashek Soup Station. So like I say, it's not just exciting times for Brian Hoyer out there. It's also exciting times for me and for my colleagues. All right, let's get into it. Before we dig into the AFC East, the big news is Johnny Football has lost out to journeyman QB Brian Hoyer. My mouth is agape. And I hope Chris Wessling, our pal from around the league's mouth, is also agape, because soon enough, as he promised, he bet against himself. He said that Johnny Manziel will be the starting quarterback on opening day, or he'll eat his own softball pants. It now looks as though he is going to have to do just that. I wonder what he's going to do.
I thought he said he was going to shave his head.
No. Eat no. softball
Eat
pants.
Eat softball pants is what's softball happening. Right pants. Now, he's flicking through a recipe book.
Hey, Black Tie, you also produced that show. I said to the Around the League boys, you got to make a big deal out of this, and I'm not jiving. Get in touch. We're in L.A. There are plenty of places that – there are plenty of outlets that do cooking shows. You need to track down one of those fancy network chefs and do a whole thing of, like, preparing the pants so that they're as palatable as possible, all that kind of stuff. All right, listen, we're spinning our wheels here.
Soup.
What's that?
Pant soup. You could serve it.
I'll serve it here. Yeah, cream of West pants. I'll happily serve that at the soup station. That'll be a great. That'll
that's
be a big.
Wrong. That's just wrong, man.
That'll be terrific. I think. Speaking of Pittsburgh, though, maybe the reason that they did this, and a lot of people have speculated that Johnny Manziel is going to get in there. It doesn't appear that it'll be week one now, barring a Hoyer injury. Maybe that's how it would wind up being. But I do think he'll be in there by October-ish or somewhere around there. But some have speculated that maybe Pettine and company want to spare him being thrown to this improved Pittsburgh defense and then the Saints in week two. I don't know about that, but I will say this. Ryan Shazier looked for real. If you got to look at number 50, the first-round draft pick, boy, the speed out there. 8 tackles and an interception in one quarter of play. I know it's preseason football, but it was against Buffalo's ones, and it's not like they're bereft of talent out there, save possibly at the quarterback position. All right, so let's talk about that in our new segment that we unveiled. I don't know if you caught it on our most recent podcast there, Handsome Hank, but Elliot joined us for our new segment called Heads or Tails. Is that what we call it, Heads or Tails, Black Tie, or do we call it the coin flip? I don't remember what we call it.
We called it Heads or Tails, but okay. We can do a coin flip.
The coin flip. That's how they start all games. Mm-hmm. I think we should start the podcast with a coin flip here. And the coin flip question is...
Well, wait. Back up a second. It took me 14 weeks to try and work out what the red flag segment was actually supposed to be. And I think Elliot still is slightly unclear on it. Tell me what I need to
this
do.
This one's nice and clean. Okay. I don't know how we could screw this one
All right, let's see if we can try.
I'm going to give you two things.
Rolling it out there and not even knowing the name.
Well, that aside. Yeah. Right. Listen, my brain is swimming with various things. As you soup, and the, you know, and the baby, by the way, and all that kind of stuff. You understand? Listen, I'm not completely here in 66 mentally. So, all right, this is clean. Two options. You choose which one is the correct one.
Right.
All right?
Okay,
it's like
it.
A heads or tails
A head
thing.
Or tail. I got it.
You know what we need, Black Tie? We need to get some sound from No Country for Old Men. That'll sell it. Like, remember when he asks him? What was his name? Segur? Like heads or tails are an important question. I always say
that's a great scene when he goes into the gas station.
In the gas station.
Yes.
And
that guy.
Good for you.
And he keeps the coin.
Yes.
Elliot, you have tapped into exactly the best scene in that movie. I've long said that scene is spectacular. And you know what it is to me? It says, I think the Coen brothers, I don't think they just stumbled into this. The old man behind the thing in No Country for Old Men, you know, the serial killer goes in there.
Yeah.
He says, heads or tails. And he doesn't want to play. He's dodgy. The old man doesn't want to play. Heads or tails. Finally, the old man says heads. Then we are led to believe, well, the old man lived. And, of course, if you didn't see the movie, if you guess wrong in that, the serial killer kills you. Spoiler alert, the movie's been out for 5 years now. It's on you now. Has Black Tie seen No Country for Old
Men? That's what I wanted to know. I'm waiting.
Tell your story, then.
All right, we'll get to that in just a minute. So the old man says heads, and he lives. I feel like what the Coen brothers were saying is that a vote of heads, when you say heads, it's a vote for optimism. And I think that's what they were getting at with
right.
that. I think if you are somebody who calls a coin in the air and you say heads, then you have a positive outlook on things, because You're saying it's going to come up the right side. It's going to come up heads. It's going to come up the way it is supposed to, as it were. Right. If you say tails, then you're a cynic. It's going to wind up face down. It's going to wind up bottom up. It's going to the world's going to deal you something unexpected, you know, right. And I'm ready for it by saying tails. Right or wrong?
No, I agree with you. But again, just to be clear, in as this game when we played on the podcast, you're not actually going to kill me like you would kill a cow in an abattoir if I get it wrong.
I will kill you with my words. You okay. know, that's what I do. Right. Yes, EH, you have you agree with that that theory or not?
Well, I've always been a tails guy. I think that's more of a devil may care, and I keep trying to remember what the old man.
It is like a bad boy thing.
Yeah,
you're right.
I keep trying to remember what the old man said to him. I think he asked him like how long he had been there, and he's like, "Me and the wife moved up here in '86 or something."
From Abilene. Yeah, we closed
exactly,
up. Our kids are all growing up.
All
right, so let's get to the coin flip here. First one, Johnny Manziel. Did they make the right choice or the wrong choice, the Browns? Let's flip the coin here, Elliot. I start with you.
Tails.
Don't please. This is we're in the early stages, just like a newborn baby.
I think the Browns made the right choice, fellas. I think they absolutely made the right choice. I think where they made the wrong choice is talking about when they had to make the decision by. When did organizations decide that they have to put a deadline on these kind of things? I mean, I remember in the 70s and 80s, teams used all four preseason games to judge talent. Now they essentially use about three quarters of the entire preseason, like three actual periods of football, 15-minute periods of football to judge talent, which I don't think is enough. I don't think they have enough of a catalog to make this decision yet. But given what we've seen, I think Brian Hoyer was the right choice.
Handsome.
I agree with Elliot. I think that, and I said it all the way back to May, I think Hoyer was the right choice for these first few games. I think the interesting thing to me is now that Manziel's the backup, he's going to play that fourth preseason game. What if he comes in, and I know it's going to be against twos and threes, but what if he comes out and just is lights out and plays great, then the whole thing's going to start all over again, and Hoyer has a tough game in week one against that speedy Steelers defense. All of a sudden, this is back on again.
Well, I think you're both wrong, as a matter of fact. I know that Manziel has not looked great, and I would submit that the middle finger has played a role in this. I mean, you know, going into that game and after the game, Pettine continued to be noncommittal about the thing. And then we wake up and now it is Brian Hoyer on Wednesday morning. It's going to be Hoyer as the starter. And yeah, I mean, you know, all backup quarterbacks are not created equal. This is not Colin Kaepernick versus Alex Smith. Brian Hoyer has started three games. He's played in roughly, you know, legitimately like about 250 minutes worth of meaningful games in the NFL. I mean, there's nothing that would suggest that this is a good move to me, that this is a guy who is a viable starting quarterback. And everybody points out, well, he's 3-0. He was 3-0 last year when he went down. I mean, at the sample size, I reject that. You know, he's Brian Hoyer. This is a guy, and I understand the Tom Brady story and everything else, and to help out Brian Hoyer's story, he learned at the knee of Tom Brady. So maybe there was some info that he could impart to Hoyer that makes him a better option at quarterback. But, I mean, listen, if Johnny Football isn't better than Brian Hoyer after 6 weeks of working in the same, learning the same offense and working with the same talent around him, if he can't beat out Brian Hoyer, then Cleveland's in trouble. They made a bad draft pick, and they should have taken Derek Carr, Teddy Bridgewater, if that's
the case.
Now, wait a minute.
I mean, there's a lot more. I think one thing that we all miss out on sometimes, we sit here and we watch Red Zone, and we just go from game to game to game and watch throws, and we don't, you know, people don't watch one game anymore. And if you really watch the flow of a game, you realize how much goes into the quarterbacking position. I mean, Johnny Manziel has got to get the play call out in the huddle right first. I mean, honestly, we don't think about that. We're so worried about watching what's on the field, but if he doesn't even get the play call right and his teammates are sitting there having to tell him, no, it's actually, you know, X, Y, whatever. Brian Hoyer, he gets in that huddle. He calls the play. He knows what he's doing. He goes the line. He's taken snaps from Alex Mack's butt now about 1,000 times, you know, and you have that kind of rhythm. I think you need that from your rookie quarterback before you get – you got to walk before you can run. That's what I'm saying.
But there's a way to tailor an offense so it's not the full playbook.
Okay.
And Johnny Manziel has the greater upside talent-wise. So
why do that?
because what? Johnny Manziel ultimately makes you, gives you the potential, at least the game that we're about to play here in the AFC okay. East, the high end potential is higher with Johnny Manziel, presumably.
Okay.
Or
okay.
he's a bust of a pick.
Okay. However, I look at that Browns defense and I think it's going to be pretty good.
Right.
And I think, man, if Hoyer can limit mistakes, it's something that Manziel might make a lot of mistakes. Nothing determines the outcome of pro football than turnovers do. The research is there. It's in. So I think Hoyer is less of a turnover risk. And when you have a good defense...
But based on what? But that's my point back to Hoyer. Okay. You're not talking about, like I say, should we go with Tomczak here? Because... I don't think the kid that we have in here that we think is a first round draft pick on, but Tomczak, this guy has no background, Brian Hoyer. He has no history.
Interesting, you bring up Tomczak.
He's a pick machine himself. That's a bad one. But okay,
no.
So who?
Well, I know.
But in these
they started
debates,
him over Cordell Stewart in '96.
Right. Well, of course, why it's my point of reference.
Okay,
there, but yeah.
And Pittsburgh made the playoffs, didn't they? They did.
In 96.
And then in 97, they made it with Cordell. But in 98 with Cordell, they missed. 99 with Cordell, they missed. In 2000 with Cordell, they missed. And he ended up flaming out. And he played terrible in that 2001 AFC Championship game and never had much of a career in Pittsburgh.
But, of course, the difference is that Cordell was not drafted in the first round.
Okay.
He wasn't brought in from day one in a competition for the starting gig. That's the point. It's Johnny
okay.
Manziel is this high pedigree Heisman Trophy winner. Everybody's excited about him. He can make plays. He can improvise. Josh Gordon probably isn't going to be out there. The offense maybe needs a little bit of a spark. You have a great defense. You tell Johnny Football, don't turn the ball over. Make some plays with your legs. Hand the ball off to the nice running backs we have behind a nice offensive line. How bad could it go? Just don't screw it up, Johnny Football, is the message you give to him. And he gives you a better chance to make plays in the fourth quarter than Brian Hoyer.
But you just said two opposite things. You've said he gives you the better chance to make plays, kind of those spontaneous
right.
plays, but you've also said don't screw it up. But if you say don't screw it up, you're also telling him try not to make those spontaneous plays. You're going to have to play it safe. Give the
What is this Cleveland offense, though? Is it calculus? I mean, listen, Cam Newton got off pretty good from day one. RG3 was able to thrive from day one from the Superdome game.
Right, and we've seen him in two preseason games, and he's looked – I mean, that was embarrassing. On Monday night against the Redskins, that was an embarrassing performance by Johnny Football. He threw –
Brian Hoyer wasn't exactly Johnny Unitas.
Right, but he wasn't he's not expected to do much more than that either. Like, the biggest question to me is, if you're talking about a safe pair of hands, you got, I mean, I realize you only came in 10 days ago, but Rex Grossman's on the roster. I'd probably rather have him than either of those two guys, at least to start the season with. Because, we can argue about this now, but inevitably, week six, Johnny Manziel's going to be their starting quarterback.
We're going to get to AFC.
With that, I agree. Yeah. And I know Elliot I'm not the only one who's busy. He's doing his stuff
Eric
for NFL
Pegram
now.
Damashek, that's my new vote. Eric Pegram Damashek.
Bus Damashek. Yeah, there are a lot of good
Carnell.
Ones. Fats. Let's see how the weight turns out. We could go a little on
LC.
To number 63. Oh, yeah, Hollywood Bags. We live in Hollywood, after all. So Hollywood
Let's talk
Bags,
some Dolphins.
Damashek. All right, let's get to the AFC East, and maybe we'll do some more coin flipping. But see, it's fun, isn't it?
It is fun. I like coin flipping.
I had other juicy
– know to
coin flipping.
I wanted to talk about some Hard Knocks here. Boy, that team collectively is – charisma challenged, aren't they?
Well, yeah. They are and they aren't, because it's all very well Johnny Manziel doing what he did on Monday night and embarrassing Heath Evans, by the way. I don't know if you saw Heath Evans, but he's very upset on Total Access by Johnny's gesture on Monday night. But Brian Cox obviously was the guy who I don't think he invented it, but he came out of the tunnel in Buffalo with two of those raised. And I love watching him
double barrel.
Cox is great. Harry Douglas is great. There are a couple of guys that are potentially amusing, but boy, Matt Ryan is. I don't know if he should go into stand up. I don't think he should go into stand up. Is all
joke, the joke.
He really captivated the room with the joke.
Is he still talking?
Yeah, you could tell everybody at some point. Actually, on multiple occasions, it ran through their head. Oh, we're on Hard Knocks, and this maybe will make it, so I better not say anything jerky. And Matt Ryan, you could feel about three or four times through the telling of the joke, like, I wish I could just abandon this, but that'll look bad on camera. So
but
I
tell you how
it.
The whole thing came about is Mrs. Ryan said, hey, Matt, you come
so
across
right.
as a bit of a personality vacuum. How about you tell the guys a joke? They'll definitely take that. And he's like, okay, I think I heard one good one the other day.
I'm going to have to go, Black Tie.
All right, we're going to go.
No,
don't you think about it. Don't you think about it, EA. Look at Black Tie.
Stuff to do.
Black Tie throws his hands in the air as if to say, I told you guys.
Rapid fire.
Let's do it.
AFC East. High, low, we're going to determine the best possible record and result in the postseason if they can get there, and what the worst possible thing is. And we'll start, of course, with the New England Patriots. EH, lay it on us.
Everything goes well for New England Patriots, and they play their schedule well. They stay healthy. I think they can finish at 13-3. I think that is their absolute high water mark. I still see some problems on defense. I think their low water mark, fellas, if things don't go well, their defensive line has got problems. Steven Ridley fumbles the ball. Shane Vereen can't be the go-to guy. I think this team could end up 9-7. I don't think they go lower than 9-7.
You know what? That's exactly the same thing I was thinking. This is ridiculous. It's almost like I came from Texas. I met Mrs. Harrison actually earlier this week, Mama Harrison, and
she's lovely.
She's great. It's wonderful to meet her. And I was gonna say, are you sure you're not my mom? Because Elliot and I agree on everything. 13-3.
She really wanted
to
meet Damashek.
Did she?
Yeah, because she thinks he's Czech. And I tried to explain to her that he's Slovakian.
Czech.
Yeah.
It's the Czech Republic, right. Not Czech. Don't
Well, we're
those.
Czech. We're Czechoslovakian. Yeah.
I'm Eastern European somewhere. It's not determined exactly from where my people hail, but somewhere in that region of the world. The Super Bowl championship within their grasp against assuming. Now, I mean, nobody. We're trying to play it, you know, the high end, every pie in the sky. But somebody good is coming out of the NFC. It's going to be the Seahawks, the Packers. There's
New
not going to be some jive team that sneaks through.
New England can beat any team in the NFC.
Right.
If they have a great day, they can beat any team. I'm not saying that they're my favorite to win the Super Bowl, but I think 3 times out of 10, they can beat any team in the NFC.
Gronk has to stay healthy. He needs to be playing.
Yes.
If they get to the Super Bowl, let's say, or if they get into the playoffs, Gronk needs to be healthy for them.
Tom Brady, the point that I make over and over again is there is a glorified game manager, which is Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees. Guys are super efficient. We need a word for that. They're unspectacular. Their numbers are spectacular, but to watch the play, you don't look back at, did you see how he shed the tackler and then spun, rolled out of the pocket and drilled it? You know,
Ben Roethlisberger style. We understand.
Yeah. Fisheroids. Like, yeah.
I'm talking about Romo, Russell Wilson, and so on. Those guys always get you to the playoffs. So, you know, Tom Brady's going to do that. But I think they need Gronkowski to get through a minimum of 2 AFC games and a Super Bowl.
Yep.
Ken Burrell Tompkins and Danny Amendola and the rest
Brandon
are not
Raphael's
enough.
Not
I
do
just
it.
Don't think Turd it I can happen. I agree with you guys. I think 13-3, 9-7, I'm in lockstep with all of you guys. And in fact, this is sacrilege to say, but I'd like to see Tom Brady win. I just think he seems like a mensch. I think he cuts the figure of the guy who should be held up as the face of the NFL, and not just because it's so handsome. He is super classy and competitive and makes everybody good, makes all the players on the field around him and makes them better. And it's a great story coming from where he came from, all that stuff. I really like him. I would like to see him get
one
more.
Can you tell that story? I've never heard it.
I think you're familiar with it. You can Google it. Google six-round pick.
All right.
Next up, let's do it for Handsome here. The Miami Dolphins, and I'm going to turn this one over to you, Handsome.
I think best case for them is 10-6 and on a wild card berth. And I think worst case is 4-12.
Wow. Boy, you're really jumping off before the season ever gets
off.
On there.
I'm being realistic.
Can I tell you something?
They play the Patriots twice a year. They're going to split games with the Jets and then maybe the Bills based on recent history. And then, you know, they've got a tough schedule overall.
Elliot and I debated last week who is going to have the first overall pick in 2015. Mm-hmm. And it's funny. I asked that question to a few of the fellas around the NFL newsroom, Willie McGinnis, Teeth Evans, and so on. It was remarkable how quickly they all said, you know who it might be, is the Miami Dolphins. Boy, I wonder why. There was some enthusiasm, it felt, a little while ago. But, boy, I'm starting to feel people backing off this team.
I'll tell you what
I
like about the team. I think Tannehill will be better. I think they've got a really, really deep receiving core. They've got, you know, Wallace. I really like what Jarvis Landry's done during the preseason.
Effective tight end.
They've got a good tight end. I think their secondary is going to be better than it was before. I think their defensive line is outstanding, maybe a top five D-line. But their offensive line still has question marks, and the question marks this time around are more about the running game. They haven't been able to get anything going in the preseason. And I realize you don't want to judge everything on that, but you know, that doesn't look good. And then there's still the question, can they protect Tannehill? And then their linebackers are terrible, like awful.
Hmm.
And I'm not sure that they, if you can't run the ball and you can't stop the run, then you're going to have problems winning games.
Against that, yeah, especially with the way the Jets are going to run right. things and then improve Bills' offense. EH, go ahead.
I go 10-6, 6-10. I really think that this is one of the teams that I don't have much of a corridor or whatever you want to call it, a
yeah,
big
right.
span. I really feel like they are what they are. I just don't see them, Hank, losing more games than 10, given what you just talked about. I mean,
the only thing that makes me think it could happen is that this is clearly Philbin's make or break year.
Mm-hmm.
If the team falls apart, it tends to be in those type of situations
yeah,
where
right.
everyone's aware he's a lame duck.
Yeah.
If they start a slide, then the slide tends to
That's exactly what we talked about. Once you know the guy's dead man walking,
right.
then the wheels fall.
You
off.
See a 5-7 team lose a couple of games and then they end up 5-11.
Yeah.
I get it. 10-6 if several things happen, one, Tannehill has to get protection, which
yep.
I think he's going to get.
I think he will be better off.
And he's effective, and they've got to get chemistry with him and Mike Wallace. I like Brian Hartline. He's effective. But they need Mike Wallace to step up and play. And if he can, they could get into some games where they actually win 28-24 instead of losing those high-scoring games all the time. Now, they can never keep up is what I'm saying in a track meet. They need to have at least the ability to win maybe two track meets this
right.
year.
The reference I keep making is Mike D'Antoni going to the Lakers and jamming his system in. If you're the Dolphins, you simply must push the ball to Mike Wallace. Have him run skinny posts. That's where he's
exactly.
most effective. He's not a go up and get it over a DB kind of thing. He is a little more rugged over the middle than some people think. But his skill is catching the deep ball. He's maybe the best at it in the NFL. Play to his strength. Don't try and make him into something he's not. EH, you're going to run out of here real quick. Jets and Bills, high and low end. Just give us the schedule. You don't have to hack it up.
Yeah, Buffalo, I've got 10-6. Everything goes well. I've got 4-12. If everything goes badly, I think they have more opportunity for things to go badly, partially just because of the rain cloud that's over that organization. They haven't made the playoffs since 99. Losing Kiko Alonso, man, that injury is huge because their defense, I think, would have been the best in that division. And the New York Jets, I've got best case scenario, 11-5. That is if everything goes well, and that's really dependent on Geno. But because it's so dependent on Geno to me, if they don't go 11-5 and then everything goes downhill, I think the Jets could just as easily be 5-11. So unlike Miami, I think there's a bigger window for the Jets and the Bills because I believe in Ryan Tannehill more than I do E.J. Manuel and more than I do Geno Smith and more than I do Michael Vick. I'd rather have Ryan Tannehill than Michael Vick.
Hmm.
So that's basically the way I'm looking at those teams. Right now, though, I feel like, unfortunately, in this division, things would have to go terribly wrong for New England to lose. I thought Buffalo might be able to threaten them.
Right.
Maybe if E.J. Manuel looked dynamite and Kiko Alonso stayed healthy. Neither one has happened.
All right. Well, you go, E.H. We appreciate the time.
I love you.
Yeah, go get it.
Hey, congratulations.
Thanks, pal.
Or as you say, mazel tov.
Yeah. Well, I don't think we're going to go Staubach. You're not going to win me over. I'm not going Landry.
Emmett Damashek.
No, that's fine.
None of it is a possibility.
That's fine, just as long as more people around here could admit that the fantasy dreidel that we did a few years ago was pure genius. Just
that's
saying.
A little scene
Hank,
segment
I love you
that
too.
We tried out. There he goes. The great Elliot Harrison.
Great
track
to see
him down.
You, Elliot. See
on
if
NFL
some
now.
More makeup on before
in
you go
season.
On NFL now.
Yeah, there's the
power
need, rankings
you're need
and everything
a
else.
A lot more foundation on that.
All right, there goes EH, and walking past him through the door into Studio 66, Maximum Strength is one of our researchers here. This is something that that we began a couple of weeks ago. We're going to be doing it through the season because I like their way collectively, their different personalities, but I like the information that they have. Our research department here at NFL Media does a gangbusters job. So much so, in fact, that all the info that they have doesn't make it into either on the network or on NFL.com. So I want to give it a chance to be heard here because it's good stuff. And joining us today is researcher extraordinaire from Kentucky. It's Bill Smith. What's the poop, fella?
Not much. How you doing, Dave?
I'm doing fine. I'm doing fine. Have you enjoyed any soup from the Dave Damashek Soup Station yet?
I have not.
Well, please get on
it out.
I don't know what's wrong with you. But all right, so here's what we're going to do. I'd like you to share, and your colleagues as well will come in here on the podcast, like I say, during the season, and we'll rotate you fellas. And when we have more time, I'd like to get to know the man behind the numbers. But right now, because time is short here in the studio, let's get to some AFC nuggets here to share with us. But actually, before we jump into those, though, Handsome, I don't want to jump in. And Bill, please jump in with any thoughts you have with what EH was saying there about the Jets and the Bills. Go with the Bills there, high end, low end on those guys.
I think Bills 10-6. I think the same as we said with the Dolphins. I think they have that range. I think they're more likely to trend towards the bottom, which is 4-12, and it's just because of EJ Manuel. I haven't seen anything from EJ Manuel that makes me think.
I agree.
That's a guy that can turn that team.
I hear you, but if you really, like we talk about, if you really maybe shrink the playbook a little bit and you make it about for this guy. Get the ball in the hands of your playmakers. They have a bevy, maybe the greatest collection of offensive playmakers in the NFL, which sounds crazy, but that is the potential, at least, of Sammy Watkins and Spiller and Woods and Mike Williams as a number three. They've got dynamic offensive players and a defense that's potentially dominant. I think they really do have that 11-5 kind of potential, and the defense, even without Kiko Alonso, could step up. They look good on the back end. I'm down for 11-5.
The problem is they've got to play six games against good defenses. The defenses in that division are all good as well, as well as theirs.
I do think, and obviously the playoffs are reasonable if they could go 11-5. But now I'm backing off the Jets a little bit because of the questions about their secondary and the injuries they have. If that defense isn't dominant for the Jets, then that's a team that, like EH said, there could go 6-10. And, of course, if you put the asterisk next to it, that if it appears by the end of October that the Rex Ryan regime is in its last days, then, of course, then all bets are off. 2-4 to any team can go completely down the tubes if the coach can't garner any respect.
And to put a bow on this division, I know we're playing high and low, but I think the Patriots end up 12-4 in division champions, and the other teams are probably somewhere between 8-6 wins each.
I just said I admire Tom Brady. I am downright rooting for him. If my team, the Steelers, can't win, I'd love to see Tom Brady get one more ring because of who he is. But, man, that guy has made a deal with the devil or something, because the AFC East is just owned by the Patriots. Yes, largely because Belichick has a machine that works and they're going to win double-digit games every year. But, man, can somebody rise up and be a legitimate threat in that division? Save a couple of Mark Sanchez-led Jets teams. Who's really been a viable threat to them? Dolphins once or twice.
It was the same with Peyton in the AFC South.
Yeah, same thing, right. It's the greatest virtue that they have going for them.
That's where the first nugget comes in. You guys wanted AFC nuggets.
Lay it on us,
Bill
Smith.
Got some AFC East nuggets. Now, the Patriots have won the AFC East 5 years in a row. Last time they didn't win it was 08 because Brady went down. They'd also won it the 5 years before that. So if they win this year, that means 6 years in a row they win the AFC East. Can either of you name the last time a team won their division for 6 years in a row?
Well, the Eagles went to four straight NFC title games, so they must have won the division in each of those. Well, not must, but I would think they won the division in those 3 years four years off the top of my head, but that is not six, is it?
Peyton never did that with the Colts?
Nope, the Titans got them in 2008.
Yeah.
Went 13-3.
I mean, pick out the teams that are the Colts. Did they have a run like that with Peyton?
That's what I just
nope.
said.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm thinking because I'm in my own head. I'm sorry. I'm not tuned into what you're saying, Handsome. I apologize.
How about the
49ers of the NFC West with Joe Montana into Steve Young?
Never did it.
Really? Wow. Who would have gotten in their way? The Rams? I don't know who would have knocked that team off. All right, lay it on us.
All right, all the way back to 1979, your Pittsburgh Steelers won from 74 to 79, and the L.A. Rams also won from 73 to 79, 7 years in a row. But it's been 35 years.
The L.A. Rams?
The L.A. Rams.
wow, what a funny thing. And they never did anything with Pat Hayden, and then they finally get to a Super Bowl when Vince Ferragamo takes over in 1979. How funny is that? Yeah, that team, the Rams, could never take care of business once they got to the postseason because they had a bad habit of having to go up to the Met to play in frigid Minnesota to play the Vikings. It seemed like that team was their undoing just about every year. And then, actually, as a matter of fact, the Cowboys would whip them in the postseason when the Vikings did not. All right, that's a fun one. I didn't intend for this segment to turn out, though, into a shaming of me and Handsome.
Right. It's not supposed to be a shaming.
Your trivia exposing us.
35 years since it happened, so maybe everyone shouldn't give the Patriots a division this year.
Okay, I see what you're saying. All right, good point.
Maybe it won't happen.
But then again, my retort to that is Geno.
Yeah.
That's what I say back to you.
It's only one of the teams.
Yeah, what, Ryan? Yeah.
You never know.
Yeah, I hear you. I if anybody was going to do it, it would be I'd say it would be the Jets. If I had to take one team that will not that could knock this team off, it would be the Mike Vick Jets. As long as they do the right thing and put Mike Vick in there, because he can get hot and take them to a division crown. Geno cannot.
So everyone's on the Sammy Watkins train, as they should be. Fourth overall pick, Clemson. He seems great.
By the way, how was Clemson not a national champion? How did they not beat everybody by 78 points when they had, at one time, Sammy Watkins,
Andre Ellington, DeAndre Hopkins,
Taj Boyd, and Martavis Bryant?
DeAndre Hopkins.
Yeah, DeAndre Hopkins. What a loaded team. How did they lost four games when all, and Dwayne Allen.
Correct.
The tight end of the Colts. All right, go ahead, please.
In the last decade, though, only four rookie wide receivers have had a 1,000-yard season.
Don't ask me who they were, because that's more shaming.
It's not about who they were, though. Last year, there's Keenan Allen.
Uh-huh.
Before that, you have A.J. Green in 11. Marcus Colston of seventh-round pick fame in 2006.
Wow.
And then you go back to Michael Clayton in 2004.
Michael Clayton! What
his
a great...
His only 1,000-yard season of his career as a rookie.
Boy, is that a tremendous trivia question that no one on the face of the earth could ever get.
So everyone wants to say Sammy Watkins is going to have a 1,000-yard season.
Awesome one.
Hasn't happened very often for rookies. And no time in the past decade have we had two. So maybe it's not Sammy Watkins. Maybe it's Brandon Cooks or Kelvin Benjamin or Mike Evans.
Wouldn't you say Kelvin Benjamin has to be it? I mean, Kelvin Benjamin, who just because of a lack of other options. Yeah.
Jason Avant and Jericho Cotchery don't really inspire much.
Yeah, yeah, they won't combine for that's combined for 1,000. All right, last one. I like this. This is great stuff so far.
There you go. We'll go to your Jets now. Pick up Eric Decker this offseason.
Now they're mine.
They're your Jets. You said
because I give them a tepid vote that they might, if everything breaks just right, could maybe get past the Patriots or mine.
Absolutely, that's how it works. So the Jets over the past two seasons have a total of 27 touchdown passes over the last two seasons.
Two seasons worth. Wow.
Manning more than doubled that last season.
Yeah.
Decker over the last two seasons has 24 touchdown receptions. The Jets have thrown for 27 as a team. So, especially for fantasy purposes, if you're thinking Eric Decker put up anything close to what he has, you might want to take a second look at the team he's on.
I agree, except that I do feel like I have to provide this caveat to those who forget it all the time when they say, well, Eric Decker did it with Peyton Manning. Well, yeah, he also caught, what was it, 8 touchdowns off the arm of Tim Tebow and other bums in Denver the season before Peyton arrived. That's a pretty good production for it, considering who was doing the
throw. But he had other guys. He had Demaryius Thomas on the other side. You're not going to have that in New York.
I suppose. And then you get into that classic debate of, whichever side lends itself to your argument. Is it better to be the one viable target in an offense, as Steve Smith was for the majority of his time in Carolina, and therefore your numbers are going to be boosted by being the only guy who's going to get those targets, or are you better off to be complemented by some other weapons out there? It's really, I guess, it's a matter of if Eric Decker is a bona fide number one, which I contend he is. I think he cuts the figure. Good speed, great size, dynamite in the red zone. I think he'll be a touchdown maker.
You think
he can
beat double coverage?
I think, as a red zone target, yeah, it's about going and getting it when you, and he does that well. I don't think it's a matter of double coverage. The guys that you can trust in that, Calvin Johnson being the preeminent one, there are three things that can happen when you throw that jump ball in the red zone. Two of them are good, or one of them is good, it can be caught. Two, it could be incomplete. And three, it could be picked off. The guys that are good at it, and Eric Decker's one of them, they prevent the interception from happening. So only good things come when you throw to guys that know how to work that red zone the way Eric Decker does. I think he's one of the best at it.
Bill, have you got any Dolphins nuggets in
absolutely.
your bag?
Are you going to explain to us what happened to the helmet on the Dolphins' head?
I'm not, but we got to get Hammers.
I don't know where
Dolphins in before we go. So Dolphins week one projected starting offensive line. None of the guys will have started a game for them last year. Yep. It looks like Brandon Albert at left tackle, Darren College or Shelly Smith left guard, Samson Satelli or Sam Brenner at center, Dallas Thomas at right guard, Juwan James, the first-round pick at right tackle. Now, that may be good considering Tannehill was sacked a franchise record 58 times last year. It's only happened one other time in NFL history where in the 16-game season where a team has had no offensive lineman who started the year before play for them the next year. It's the 2004 Chargers, and they actually ranked fourth in the NFL in sacks that year.
See, there you go.
That's also the first time that five offensive linemen have been name-dropped on this podcast.
Right.
Put that in the history book.
And one of them was called Shelly.
You know, by the way, as a side note, I want to get our pal Ross Tucker on the podcast because I think it would be a fun thing to hear, you know, in broad strokes at least, somebody, because it goes without saying that how well your offensive line plays dictates to a large degree how good your offense and how good your team's going to be. I'd like someone who really looks at it and studies it to just tell us in broad strokes going into the season, rank them. Give us who really is a good offensive line, because it's all speculation. It's all reckless speculation. That offense is going to be good. Well, you know, if the offensive line is good and gives a mediocre QB an extra half second to make a play and make a decision, that offense is going to be that much better. So I'd like to do that. All right, we're going to wrap it up there, Black Tie. You want to kick us out of here?
Yeah, let's do it. I mean, you start talking offensive linemen, and it's time to go, you know?
I know, but
you might need a different producer for that podcast episode.
For the offensive line,
yeah.
You won't sit through it? We'll make it fun. Ross Tucker's always delightful.
He's a great guy. Yeah, we do have to go, though.
All right, so we'll wrap it up there. But great nuggets there. Did you like that handsome head?
That's terrific. We should do that more often.
Definitely.
Let's get Bill in here. Let's get his buddy Drew in here.
Real quick, so I feel like the Dolphins now, I'm really now considering they are one of my teams. This is the hard thing to do, Bill Smith, is to identify in mid-August what teams are definitely not going to the playoffs. They're very few, really. It's a testament to the parity of the NFL and the optimism and all that. Who, you know, the Cowboys ain't making the playoffs.
The first one out of your mouth is the Cowboys.
The Giants are now shaping up for that. But
well,
the Tom
well,
Coughlin
can't take two out of one division.
I know
the
Tom Coughlin magic, though, of rebounding when after a dire season makes me back off mm-hmm. them. The Raiders can't make the playoffs.
There we go. That's where
Raiders
I thought you'd start. No
playoffs.
Offense to my research buddy Drew, who's a diehard Raiders fan, but
yeah.
They really don't
facts
have a
are facts. And I might put the Dolphins in there. People
really?
Are starting to make me lean that way.
I wouldn't. That would be foolish.
Really?
I mean, if you want to do that after 4 weeks, I'm.
Do you know if they have the third or fourth pick in the draft? Think about this. This is, you know, if things start to go wrong for you, if they are lousy, if they go, let's say 5-11, at least you'll be looking at Marcus Mariota, right? You feel good about that? The Ryan Tannehill era.
I'm not entertaining that conversation in August.
You don't want to?
No.
All right. I'm just trying to make you feel good about things in case things go south for you.
I appreciate that, but let's not have the conversation.
All right. Thanks to Elliot Harrison. Great stuff from him. Sorry for babbling so much at the top about my soup station and my baby.
You're entitled to do that.
All right. Thank you. Maybe, you know what? Instead of a Pittsburgh athlete, maybe I should name the baby after soup. You think about that.
Butternut squash.
Matzo ball Damashek. Mm. Five bean Damashek. What do you think about that?
Italian wedding Damashek.
Oh, wow. Really? That could be a lot of fun. Yeah. Anyhow, we'll wrap it up there. Thanks to Bill Smith. See, I think this is a good segment. Do you like it, Black Tie? We'll keep it going there.
Best part of the show today. And that's not a dig at the rest of the show, but really good stuff. Good nuggets.
Really fascinating stuff, yeah. In fact, it generated a lot of thoughts that I don't have time to share because Black Tie is
We gotta go.
All right, we're going to wrap it up here. And this might be, I don't know for sure, this might be our only podcast of the week because of the aforementioned
Soup Station
responsibilities and baby raising responsibilities that I have this week. But I don't know. Who knows?
What's on your agenda of baby raising this week?
I got a lot of stuff to do, you know, waking people up like, hey, the baby's crying. You know, you should do something about that, you know, that kind of stuff. you know? All right. Hey, I got, you know what? That baby's making such a racket. I need some peace. I'm going to go to the bar for just like an hour and a half, and then I'll come back. That, you know, that's time. The time to travel to the bar and come back and all that sort of thing. All right, listen. We'll be back with more Hooey and Applesauce. I don't know, this week, maybe early next week. Be on the lookout for it. Either way, in the meantime, thanks so much, football fans. It's been a thin slice of heaven.